Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. As promised, he is Bobby Marks, Front Office Insider, or ESPN, and he joins us now. Bobby, how are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
So how are we supposed to celebrate the Summer League title? Like, is there, you know, is there, like, do we just do a parade, or do we kind of, like, just have, like, a cookout? Like, what's the best way to celebrate a Summer League championship?
Well, as I say, the offseason is always the honeymoon period, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we are the signings look great, the draft looks great, summer looks great, and then we get into the season and when really things matter. But no, I think certainly winning the Summer League is an accomplishment just because it's a grind. I mean, they're there, they've been there. You know, Memphis was there, every team was there since the early parts of July. You play, you know, three or four games. You've got to basically qualify to, you know, for this 18 mini tournament at the end. And so I think there's certainly an accomplishment there, especially when you have your new head coach coaching that group. Your rookies, certainly, I know Ja didn't play, but you know how Brandon, you know, Clark played. I think there's a lot of good value there. I think the goal is always just to try to get better from day one, from when you got to Vegas, and also, you know, to have your new coaches or your new head coach kind of put his hands around these guys and figure out what he has going into next year. So, yes, I think you'll get a nice trophy for it. But as you guys know, once we get going in, late September, early October, that kind of goes out the window here.
Right. Like, it's kind of just it gets us through this summer. I think it's a nice sort of, you know, feather in the cap for this new front office that has, you know, obviously done a good job of tearing down the roster and sort of maneuvering since they've gotten in. But in terms of injecting meaning and trying to find significance in this, it's Brandon Clark, right? I mean, with no job playing in the Summer League for various reasons, it's the fact that Brandon Clark was the tournament MVP. He was the championship game MVP. I mean, that's what you have to focus on, right, is the individual performances of the young guys.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, especially where, you know, we had projected, you know, Brandon somewhere in that late lottery around 14. I know he slid to the early 20s, where he was, you know, where he was picked by the Grizzlies here, and probably his age played a role in it. You know, here's a kid who's 22 years old, and sometimes teams are more willing to go with an 18 or 19 year old. Maybe that's a little more upside, but I think you saw Brandon probably more of the experience factor. You know, this is kind of who he is. This is what he's going to do. You know, he's going to play hard every night. You know, you saw he can play multiple positions here. But, yeah, for your other pick, you know, I know we talked a lot about Ja, but as far as what Brandon was able to do, I think you have to have a pretty good comfort level there.
What should we be feeling about Grayson Allen? Like, how much do you draw? We've said the same thing with Brandon Clark, right? You love the positive that you saw, but you got to be a little bit reserved, obviously, because you're not going against guys that are all going to be in the NBA. With Grayson, did you expect him to be a little bit further along? How concerned should we be? How much should we draw from him? He did not shoot the ball well, got ejected from a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially for a player that was in, you know, it wasn't like he was a one and done, and it's going to take a little bit of time. He's more seasoned than, you know, these other rookies or even these players that are 1 year in the league here. And I think, yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too caught up in.
I'm with you. I know.
In summer league, yep. I've seen the good and the bad and the ugly. But yeah, I mean, I think especially in a more of a position of need. I mean, Grayson's going to have an opportunity there. I mean, really is. As far as where they are at the two guard, that position is wide open, you know, different than the other four positions where I think we kind of can pencil in maybe who the starters or who that next guy off the bench is going to be. So, yeah, I think you probably would have liked the scene a little bit more, you know, from Grayson. As you mentioned, he did not shoot the ball. I think you saw in that one game his frustration level kind of reverted back to his Duke days here. So,
yep.
I don't know about overly concerned, but I would want more from him, you know. And I think it's something to watch when we get into when we get into training camp and when we start playing some of these preseason games.
I know it's early, Bobby, and the judgment will be made later, but do you like the early moves of Zach Kleiman?
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And I think when they got hired, or I think when, you know, when the front office was let go, and I'll stick by my assessment of how it was, you know, I said it was kind of, junior hour, comedy hour, as far as the process. And I'll stick by that because I believe it was, you know, as far as how, Chris Wallace was let go and JB was let go on the day of, the exit interviews here. But I really like what the group has been able, what Zach Kleiman has been able to do, Rich Cho has been able to do there, as far as you've torn it down, but not to the nuts and bolts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are. You know that your two foundation pieces are Ja and Jaren Jackson. And then you're able to add, you bring back Valanciunas on a really good deal. And then you make some trades and you move some, move some parts out and you get Jay Crowder. Certainly Iguodala. You get a first round pick for Andre Iguodala. That could be a pretty good pick here.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have a baseline of what you want to do. You went out and got Tyus Jones to an offer sheet and you have him there. And is it a playoff team? Probably not. But I think that there's a build. There's some building blocks that you can kind of continue to develop and kind of retool on the fly, and it gives you a lot of flexibility for next summer.
We are, of course, talking to Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. So every superstar now has a new team. I think that's a great thing for the NBA, obviously. When you survey all of the changes and all of the trades and switches in free agency, which fit do you like the best? Obviously, Russell Westbrook is now in Houston there. Kawhi and Paul George have teamed up with the Clippers. Anthony Davis and LeBron. Like, is there a fit you like more so than another?
Well, I mean, I think if Durant was healthy, it would probably be the Kyrie KD fit, and we're going to have to wait probably a year to figure out where that is going to be. But I think certainly what the Clippers have with Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, would you have two players that can play multiple positions that are all NBA defense? I think that are, that don't need the ball all the time, that can kind of play off each other. I like that fit. I think it'll be interesting when Paul comes back. Remember, he's coming off that shoulder surgery here. So will he be ready when we get going for the start of the season here? But you're right. I mean, we went through I don't think we'll ever go through an offseason. Oh, maybe in 2021, but maybe not next year. But we'll go through an offseason of change and guys picking teammates, guys signing up with other players here, multiple teams, not just one here. And it'll probably be a little bit different, probably a little more stagnant next summer here. But yeah, I mean, you go through every team, and I think the league's in this probably as good as the shape as it's ever been right now. I think just from a parity standpoint.
Yep.
Now, we've gone the last 5 years with probably Golden State, right? We can pencil in Golden State went to an NBA Finals here. But now, I mean, this thing is wide open here. When you look at deep the West is, the Eastern Conference is certainly wide open here. Golden State is probably going to have to take a back seat for a year. And you can make the argument that any team could probably, there's probably 8 or 9 teams that could potentially win it right now.
Bobby, if this were anybody but Kawhi, would we be killing them for leaving so much money on the table? Or should we be admiring him in the way that he sort of just does his own thing and doesn't worry about what we think or how much money we think he's leaving on it? Where do you come down on it?
It's his money, right?
That's true.
I mean, it's not my money. It's not yours.
But it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
Man.
Hopefully he'll be able to recoup some of that, 3 years from now. And I've always been probably passive when it comes to these guys. And I think probably what happened is that, with Durant this summer and certainly with Clay, two guys come, one coming off an Achilles, one coming off an ACL, and they were both still able to get 160 and, $190 million deals. That for Kawhi, hopefully that payday will be there 2 or 3 years from now.
Right.
Here. But yeah, I mean, he's left, from San Antonio to Toronto to now with the Clippers here. And I think that's kind of, maybe where we, in the league, will probably admit it, where they maybe missed the mark a little bit as far as the financial incentive to stay where your own team is not there anymore.
Yeah.
To stay an extra year for 5 years or the Supermax contract that guys can make, $30, $40 million more. It's just not there that these guys want to go win. They want to team up with other players. They want to be in maybe some players want to be in a certain market. And we'll see what happens when that next CBA kind of rolls in, because you're seeing the impact on some of these mid-market teams right now.
I was reading a piece about the Rockets, and it sounded like in that piece that the Rockets envision using Russell Westbrook sort of the same way that they use Chris Paul with James Harden. Can you do that? Are there different ways to unlock? Like, what do you sort of envision in Houston with those two together?
Yeah, I mean, I think Chris is more of a pure point guard, you know, probably more of a throwback guard. I think Russ is, you know, certainly a scoring guard, a player that's kind of looking for his own. It's funny, you know, an organization that's been so analytically built or driven, you know, Westbrook does not fit that, I mean, at all. I mean, he does not fit the mold. Exactly. And so I think that's going to be the fascinating part there. But you get a player that's 4 years younger. Yes, you get another year left. You know, certainly in all NBA, he's been, you know, relatively healthy here in his career here. So I think I understand why, you know, especially how Darryl has kind of moved pieces around, that there, you know, you get 2 years and then we're looking for a little bit of a change. But yeah, I'm not sure yet as far as how that fit. But I think the one thing, the saving grace is that they did play together, you know, in Oklahoma City at one point in their career. So there already is a familiarity. They do like each other here. But I think it is going to be pretty fascinating when we watch this group, you know, get going here.
And then I want to ask you, Bobby, I've seen this on your Twitter account, and I've been meaning to ask you about it, but how did a former college football player get into an NBA front office? Because, like, that just seems like that has never happened before. How did that happen?
You know how it happened? That former college football player forgot to go to classes in college. That's what happened, and I needed credits to graduate, and when I was short 6 credits, I wound up getting I was pretty fortunate to get an internship with the Nets in 1995 to get my 6 credits to graduate, and then wind up staying on another 4 months after I couldn't get a job working in basketball ops when things were really different then. In the late 90s, when, you know, the department was probably 10 to 15 people, and we had 2 assistant coaches, a general manager, and 2 scouts, and we didn't have a sports science department that had 20 people deep in here. So that's kind of how I got my foot in the door and kind of worked my way up the food chain. I would say it's a lot different than kind of how it is now.
I saw you at Summer League poking around, and I seen you that you're back home. You've been in the hotel for the last month, 2 months. What does Bobby Marks do to unwind? It's time.
You know, it's hard, guys. I'm telling you, man. It's like, you know, I was on the road for, I think, 42 out of 49 nights since Memorial Day.
Good grief.
Yeah, I mean, it was living in a hotel and being in Vegas and Bristol and all over the place here in LA. And it's hard to unwind from the grind of starting at 6 a.m. and ending at 1 a.m. to actually come home and try to have a conversation with your wife and kids. I mean, I'm real serious about that.
I believe it.
You start to kind of, maybe instead of putting in 12-hour days, you start to peel back. And I'm still busy and stuff. But, yeah, it is hard to – it was hard, guys, when I go back, you know, my kids go back to school, my wife goes back to work in a couple weeks here when school starts. It's kind of like, what do you do? You know, what do you do? I don't have that many hobbies. So I guess I'm going to have to find a hobby.
Well, the good news is, like, the NBA season starts in, like, 2 weeks. So, like, you'll just have more NBA to watch. Bobby,
we appreciate
the time,
brother.
As always, man. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yep. He is Bobby Marks, front office insider for ESPN. 42 of 49 nights that man has been on the road.
Yeah, he does the Doubletree.
Yeah.
He does the cookies.
Yeah, the cookies.
Yeah, the fantastic warm chocolate chip cookies.
I did not realize you knew. How did you know where he stayed?
He's tweeted about it. He's tweeted about it before, how many Doubletree cookies that he had. Have you ever had one of those warm Doubletree cookies?
No.
Oh, it'll change your life. Change your life.
Doubletree cookies.
Oh, yeah. And they give them to you free coming out. So you have them for breakfast.
Okay.
They're fantastic.
All right.
Well, folks have had them know what I'm talking about. Chocolate chip.
I will keep that in mind.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.